child are not necessarily those of his parents. Well, yeah, you never know what's going to come out of a child, right? Out of the mouth of a child. Little girl just finished her first week of school. "I'm just wasting my time," she said to her mother. "I can't read and I can't write, and they won't even let me talk." poor little girl. Anyways, life of being at school. School is definitely one place of learning, for sure. Another place of learning is knowing Jesus Christ, who is wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and who is everything that you need in your life is Jesus. And through God's word, we receive wisdom for daily living. And one such book of the Bible is the book of Proverbs, written by the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon. And these Proverbs are wise sayings that convey a specific truth in a kind of a pointed way or a pithy way, if you would, but they really get the message across to us, these Proverbs, as you read through them. Proverbs, as you could accurately say, is a school of wisdom. Do you want wisdom in your life? Study, read, and study, and look into the book of Proverbs, and you'll find all the wisdom that you need for living. It's full of wisdom. Wisdom from above for living here below is how I like to describe Proverbs. Wisdom for living in 2023 and beyond, excuse me, is the title of our 10-week series that we've been looking at here on the book of Proverbs. Let me read for you our text for today's message, and that's found in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart." We know these verses, right? "And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways," what? "Acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Isn't that the message our world needs? "It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." Father, as we look at this portion of your word this morning, we need the guidance and the knowledge and the wisdom and the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us as we look at this passage together, and that we might glean some truths that will help us to live a life of wisdom, Lord, that we so much need in these days when there was so much unwise things going on in our world today that are really disheartening. And Lord, we need you. We need your help. We need your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, the wisdom of Proverbs. It's such a valuable book. It really is, because it gives us wise sayings that will help us know how to live in a world that has gone wrong. Do I have a witness? Do you want to know how to live in this world that's in a mess? The world's gone wrong? Study Proverbs. Read it and study it and seek to live it out. So the pursuit of living successfully as God sees success, which, by the way, is not contingent on how much education we have or how much wealth we have or how popular we might be, but rather on how obedient we are to God's commandments found in His Holy Word, the Bible. So that's why we have today's title, "The Best Way to Live." God wants you to live the best way. He wants you to live successfully. Not necessarily wealthy and prosperity and all those kinds of things that's being promoted around today. But he wants you to live successfully. And he wants you to experience his bountiful blessings in your life. Count your many, what? Blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what God has done. Well, God is giving us blessings. But there are some conditions to receiving those blessings that we want to consider here this morning. In fact, there are three conditions here in this text that we must meet if we are to experience His many, many blessings in our lives. Condition number one, you must remember Scripture with your mind and obey it with your heart. Okay? Remember Scripture with your mind and obey it with your heart. Solomon is particularly addressing young men here as we read in verse 1, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments." He's specifically writing or addressing young men here. And we see this in the word "my son" here. And so here in Proverbs, he's going to give some good advice, some wonderful advice to young men, and may I say, young women too, right? For all young men and women, it'll be worth listening to and heeding for sure. And that first advice is in verse 1a here, "My son, do not forget my law." That is, remember the laws of Scripture with you. Remember them in your mind. And then the second advice is verse 1b, "But let your heart keep my commands." That is, obey God's commands in Scripture with your heart. Okay, remember them in your mind, but then keep them in your heart. Be obedient to the commands of Scripture with your heart. That's wisdom's advice. God's advice. Wisdom from above. Advice here to you and I today. And how do we remember Scripture? How do we remember Scripture with our mind? Well, if you remember a little bit from a past message here, we first remember Scripture in our minds. And how do we do this? How do we do this? We'll go back to chapter 2 for the answer. And that is in chapter 2, verse 1a. It's by receiving God's word. And that means by reading it. All right? So you get Scripture into your mind by, first of all, by reading it, receiving it, chapter 2, verse 1a, into your mind. And then we also get it by memorizing it. And I know we don't like to do that, do we, as we get older? But if we're going to get God's word into our minds, we need to memorize Scripture. We need to have our recipe card there with our Scripture verses on it. And pull those out as we have those moments in our lives that we can take a few moments to review it. And so he says here, "Treasure or hide my commands within you." That's memorizing it, verse 1b of chapter 2. And then by listening to it taught, listening to it preached. In church, yes, or on your electronic device. There's all kinds of messages out there that you can listen to. Just search it on your devices, any message, and YouTube, etc. We got all kinds of sermons back here that you can listen to, CDs and DVDs. We're without excuse today to have access to listening to Scripture and listening to sermons today. So he says here, "Incline your ear to it," verse 2a. That means listen to Scripture. Have Scripture going all the time in your life and be listening to it. Put on those Bible apps and listen to Scripture throughout your day. And then by applying Scripture, that is doing what it says, verse 2b, he says, apply your heart to understanding. Apply your heart to the Scriptures. Apply the Scriptures into your life. And then by praying for needed understanding. You remember Scripture by praying for needed understanding. You and I need understanding to understand the Scriptures. We need to ask God for the wisdom and the understanding to receive it. Verse 3, "Yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding." So we need to pray for that needed understanding in our lives. And then by digging into the Scriptures, we will remember Scripture. By digging into it, verse 4, "If you seek her as silver, seek Scripture as silver and search for it as for a hidden treasure." So we need to be digging into the Word of God and finding out all the treasures that God has for us and all those promises, all those golden nuggets that God has for us in our Scriptures. And of course, the best method of remembering Scripture is memorization of it. And if we memorize Scripture, we'll have the best retention of it 100%. So the secret of successful Scripture memory is review. And the secret of review is consistency, right? Review, 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 and review some more. And again, write it on those scripture memory cards. I have mine. I have it right in here. My scripture verses that I'm working at presently on my 3x5 card. And I add a verse each week. And we need to be putting those scriptures into our minds and reviewing them with our recipe cards, or put them into your electronic device, and so it comes up every day for you, and you can review your scripture that way. So write it out, your scripture, on a recipe card, key it into your cell phone, whatever it is, carry it with you all the time, because you never know those free moments in your life that you can pull it out and review it some more. Whether it be those idle moments when you're shaving, or you're washing dishes, or you're waiting for a red light, or you're waiting in line at the supermarket, or at the bank, or while on your trail walking, or while sitting in the restroom, that works too. It really does. All right, have that card with you, take it in with you, okay, and review your scripture verse, whatever those idle moments are in your life. You say, I'm too busy. We all have idle moments, right? Use those idle moments to memorize scripture and get it into your heart and mind. Another good method of remembering scripture is share it with someone else. Share that scripture verse with somebody else. Have either your spouse or your kids or a good friend that you can share those scripture verses with and kind of hold each other accountable for your scripture memory. Connect with another Christian online or in person and review your memory verse with them. If you're onto Facebook a lot, pick a friend out there that you can do scripture memory with and review it with them, etc. It's so important. Let your heart keep my commandments. That's the most important thing, is to obey the word of God in your heart. Let your heart, verse 1b, keep his commandments. So often people think it's our duty as a Christian to do this and to do that. Really, this obedience thing comes down to the heart, does it not? It's a heart issue for us. It really is. If I truly love God, I'll work at obeying scripture. If I truly love God, I'll work at it. I won't say, well, I'm too busy. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And all these other priorities come first before God does, before his word does, and before prayer does. Then, yeah, I am too busy. But I'm not loving God if I don't choose to obey scripture and to follow the Lord in that way. It's a heart issue, isn't it? So it's not a duty, but rather it should be a loving devotion to do the will of God. To do what God wants me to do because, here it is, because I love him. Amen? That's why we do these things. It's not because the preacher tells you to do it, or your teacher tells you to do it, or your youth leader, or whoever. It's because you love Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you love Jesus, you're going to want to do these things, right? Because you'll need them in your life so that you can grow in your faith from where you are. Listen to what Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 14. Jesus said these words in John chapter 14. Let me read them for you. I'll find them here. Okay. John chapter 14, Jesus said this in verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. Do you want to be with Jesus? Do you want to be at home with Jesus? You want to be growing in your relationship with Jesus? Then obey his commandments that are in the scriptures for you to do that. Besides, I may read the Bible, I may hear good sermons from the Bible, even memorize the Bible, but if I don't obey the Bible, I'll forfeit all the blessings and rewards of obedience that God has for me. Because the real blessing in your Christian life comes not in so much reading the Bible, that is good, and you'll be blessed, but the more blessing comes when you obey the Bible, and you do what the Bible says, and you follow through with that. So, notice the amazing blessing or reward of remembering scripture here with your mind and obeying it from your heart. Notice the reward here in chapter 3, verse 2. Here's a reward for obeying scripture. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Who doesn't want that? Huh? You young people here, men and women, single or married or wish to be married, whatever. There's a reward here, right? For keeping God's word in your life and obeying God's commandments is you're going to have a longer life, right? And you're going to have peace in your life. Wow, that's worth it, isn't it? It really is. It's really worth it to get into the word of God. Let's go on to the second condition. Condition number two, you must keep a balance of mercy and truth. You must keep a balance of mercy and truth in your life. And that's the key, keeping a balance of both mercy and truth. Notice verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So in relation to God, the mercy of God, the truth of God are inseparable. They go together like hand and glove, right? They go together. They're inseparable. Mercy of God and the truth of God. Jacob of old saw them as gifts of God of which he was not worthy. Back in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 10, we read these words. And I am not worthy, said Jacob, of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you, God, have shown your servant. So even Jacob admitted to that he was not worthy of God's mercy and God's truth in his life. And neither are you and I worthy of his gracious gifts of God and his mercy and his truth. Mercy is his loving kindness that we don't deserve, right? The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 1:17 tells us. So Jesus himself embodied both grace and truth in his life. And what is loving kindness? It is really grace. It's really his unmerited favor, the unmerited favor of God towards undeserving people like you and I. So it's more than kindness, mercy is. It's loving, unmerited, and undeserving kindness, mercy, the mercy of God. The teacher asked the little girl the difference between kindness and loving kindness. And the little girl answered, well, if you go in and ask mama for a piece of bread with some butter on it and she gives it to you, that's kindness. But if she puts a little jam on it without your asking, that's loving kindness. I like that illustration, don't you? My friend, that's what God does. He puts a little jam on us, right? He puts loving kindness and truth on you. And if we know who Jesus is, we know him as Lord and Savior, we are to bear a family resemblance to him, to the Father and to the Son, who are full of mercy and full of truth. And we too, if we're part of his family, we are to wear mercy and truth in our lives as well. And ought to be a balance of both mercy and truth in our lives. We are not to have one over the other, one without the other. Both are needed in my life and in your life. Have you ever met people who are students of the Bible and they firmly believe doctrinal truths, and yet they're kind of difficult to get along with, right? They're kind of difficult to get along with, and even they come across maybe a bit harsh, maybe, kind of times, and they'll speak out on Bible things and Bible issues, and they'll make that known, and they'll fight for what God says. However, their spirit towards us is maybe cold and insensitive. There's little or no love or no compassion, no tenderness, no sensitivity. There's no evidence of the fruit of the Spirit of love and gentleness and kindness and meekness and self-control. I ask, what good is truth of God's word in my life if there's no mercy? If there's no mercy, if there's no loving kindness that needs to be in my life, and I fall short of that, right? And I imagine if we were to check into your home and into your life, that you probably fall short of this a bit too. But we need to work at more mercy in our lives. We need to be more mercy people, more loving kindness people. I need to work at it. I need the fruit of the Spirit. I need to pray, Lord, give me the filling of your Spirit today so I can be more merciful in this situation or to this person, etc. We need more loving kindness in our lives. But then you move to the other extreme, where you'll meet people whose hearts are filled with concern, filled with love and mercy for others, yet they don't know what they believe. They don't know why they believe what they believe. They don't know their Bibles very well, right? They have no solid foundation on which to stake their life on because they just simply do not know the truths of God's word. They're not rooted and established and built up through the word of God in their lives because they don't make it a priority to study and read their Bibles. So they become very illiterate to the scriptures and to what God's knowledge that they need to have and could have if they made the effort to have it. So what happens in their Christian lives is they kind of become wishy-washy, right? They kind of become wishy-washy. They kind of become unstable, insecure in their lives. And in turn, they're tossed to and fro, as Scripture says, with every wind of doctrine because they don't know really what they believe. And so they're susceptible to false doctrines and false teachings and false teachers because they don't know the truth of Scripture. Oh yeah, they're really loving and merciful and they give the shirt off your back when they're back for you. But they don't know their scriptures. They don't know the truth of scriptures in their life. They're missing that in their life. And as a result, they're tossed to and fro. They ride the waves and they ride with their emotions, their feelings over the truth of God's word in their lives. And they're easily led astray, as I said, by false teachers. You could describe them as friendly and generous and loving people who believe whatever they want. Their attitude is kind of like this. Oh, it doesn't matter what I believe. It doesn't matter what, you ever heard people say that? It doesn't matter what I believe as long as I go to church somewhere. As long as I don't drink and swear and hang around with those who do. And I love everybody. It's okay. As long as I love everybody. That's kind of their mindset. No. You're not okay. Oh yeah, very sincere. But yet they tolerate anything. There's little or no biblical stand. There's little or no conviction, no separation, no holiness of living if you were really to examine their life. It's just not there. So the point is this, and you knew this was coming, right? Both mercy and truth should be seen in our outward behavior, right? Verse 3 says, bind them around your neck. Both ought to be lived out in our lives for all to see them, just like a necklace is seen by all on one's neck. It's there. You see it, right? And yet, at the same time, mercy and truth should be true of believers' inward life as well. Not only should people see it outwardly, but it should be inwardly in my life as well. It says here in verse 3, write them upon the, what's he say here? The tablet of your heart. That's talking about inside of you. There should be mercy and truth going on inside of your life that you're working at, developing those evidences in your life of being a follower of Jesus, this mercy and this truth. And then what will be the reward of balancing both? Mercy and truth. What's the reward here? Notice verse 4. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. The reward will be that God showers his blessings down upon your life. Not only that, but he will be pleased with your life. You'll find favor with God. You'll find favor with people. When you treat people with mercy and truth, you'll find favor with your colleagues and your family and your friends. When you show mercy and truth in your life, they'll be impressed and somewhat envious of your life. And they'll say, wow, there's something different about that person. I wish I had what they have. And so, church, ask the Holy Spirit to keep a balance in your life of both what? Mercy and truth in your life. Condition number 3, needed to experience God's blessing in your life. You must say no to worry. Wow. Say no to worry and say yes to trusting in the Lord completely and unreservedly and unconditionally. So say no to worry and say yes to trusting in God. Right? That's what we need to do if we're going to experience God's blessing in our life. Worry robs us of the blessings of God. It really does. And we discover that in these verses that are very much cherished verses, maybe often quoted verses. Maybe there are even some of you have these verses as your life verse. When I was a teenager and into Bible college years, these were my life verses here, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Can you say them with me together? Church, here we go. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Good for you. Those are amazing verses, are they not? And we want to dissect them a little bit here this morning. If we could only live them, right? If we could only live them every day, what a difference in our lives these two verses would make. So in these two verses, we have three admonitions for the child of God. So stay with me here on these, because we're not done yet, okay? First of all, there must be a full commitment of ourselves. That means our spirit part of us, our soul part of us, our body part of us needs to be committed to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means every part of you, your body, soul, and spirit, you need to trust in the Lord. Notice the title Lord here. Notice that the title Lord here is all in the big case letters, the large case letters, right? Do you notice that? That means the word Jehovah. It's the Hebrew word is Jehovah here for this word. And it's the idea of the most intimate and sacred name for God. When you see the name Lord all in the big case letters, that's the most important, most intimate, sacred name for God in the Bible. And there it is, right there. So it's a title given Israel's covenant-keeping God, the one who is bound to his people by love and by promise, the Lord himself. So the name Lord means he is absolutely dependable. He's God, and I'm not. He's on the throne, and I'm not. And he's dependable, and he's trustworthy. Do I have a witness? Amen? God is dependable, and he's trustworthy. You can stake your life on him. So to trust is to cast ourselves completely, fully, absolutely on someone, and that person who is the most trustworthy, most dependable person ever is the Lord Jesus himself. You can trust in him. You can trust your life to him. So why do we worry? Why do we worry if we're really trusting in this God who's trustworthy and who will look after us and who will promise us to take care of us? He takes care of the birds of the air, Jesus taught. He takes care of the fields, of the grass of the field and the flowers of the field, and he clothes them. Are you not better than they to him? Sure you are. So he's going to take care of you. So why do we worry when God is who he is and he promises to look after us? Why do we get depressed? Why do we get discouraged? Why do we feel like throwing in the towel, giving up on life? Why do we succumb to fear? Why do we scheme and try to make our own plans and do our own things? Thank you, Marcia. Because Satan wants us to. He puts those lies in our minds that we're not worthy or that God's not really there. He's not really real. And he puts those lies into our minds. Why do some people have their own annual nervous breakdowns? Why? Because we haven't learned to fully trust the Lord. Totally and unreservedly. This is where we fall spiritually. We fail to trust the Lord with our whole heart. Our whole heart. That means with our inner being, our mind, our emotions, and our will, we trust in the Lord. Do we get this? Do I get it? Do you get it? Trust is a total commitment without reserve, without any condition set. Secondly, there must be a healthy distrust of self. Verse 5. And lean not unto your own understandings. That's having a healthy distrust of self. And acknowledging that we do not know what is best for us. What happens is we lean on ourselves too much, don't we? We lean on our own skills. We lean on our own knowledge or intellect, our expertise, our education, our family, our friends. And we let them chart the course with what we think is right for ourselves instead of trusting in the Lord. Who should I be listening to first? My friends? My peers? No, I should be listening to the Lord first. I should be trusting in the Lord and have a healthy distrust of self. Don't trust in yourself because you're going to end up with a lot of problems. If you're going to lean on your own understanding and listening to the wrong crowd out there, hanging out with the wrong people that you shouldn't be listening to, then you're going to be heading to some problems. And you need to turn about and say, I'm not going to trust in myself and in these people anymore. God is saying, trust me. Trust me to handle your life. Trust me to handle your problems. Not yourself. If you trust in yourself, you'll not have success in life. You need to trust in the Lord. Then thirdly, there must be an acknowledgement of the Lordship of Christ in your life. I love verse 6a here. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's all about the Lordship of Christ in your life. You've heard about the Lordship of Christ? That's what it is right there. It's just acknowledging God first in your life above everyone and anything else in your life. God is number one. And you acknowledge that. The word acknowledge here is a verb. That means it's an action word, and it means to conscientiously know or recognize. So Solomon is literally saying here that every area of our lives must be turned over to His control. Right? You see, friends, God wants to work in your life and through your life. He wants to use you, and He wants to bless you in ways that you could never begin to imagine. Jeremiah 29:11, great verse. Encourage you with that verse. And let me just take time to read it here. I know time is running by here. But Jeremiah 29:11, I love this verse. And it's been one of my go-to verses over the years. For I know the thoughts that I have, think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want a future? Who doesn't want hope? Who doesn't want peace? You're only going to get it through Jesus Christ and a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not going to get it anywhere else. You're not going to get it from your friends. You're not going to get it on social media. You're not going to get it anywhere else but in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So put your life there. Put your life into Jesus' hands and let Him dictate your life and guide you and control you. That's where the blessing comes. You must choose to pass over the reins of control to Him. Instead of you in the driver's seat of your life, you pass the keys over to Jesus and you let Him take the wheel of your life. Amen? You willingly acknowledge Him as Lord of your life. You and I acknowledge Him as Lord in our prayers at the start of the day. We acknowledge Him by saying grace at the table, the meal table, by reading our Bibles on our own and then with our families after the supper meal and with our wives before bedtime. We acknowledge Him as Lord by being in church on Sundays and by offering our tithes to the Lord, by using our spiritual gifts to serve the Lord in our business life, our social life, our dating life, our education life, our marriage, our family life. In every area of life, we acknowledge the Lord, the Lordship of Christ, as number one in our lives. And if we do this, if we trust fully in the Lord, distrust in ourselves, and thirdly, acknowledge the Lordship of Christ in every area of life, what will be the reward? I like these rewards, don't you? Proverbs. Here's the reward. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6b. Here's the reward for acknowledging the Lord and the Lordship of Christ in your life. And He shall direct your paths. But we have to acknowledge Him first. If He's going to direct us, we need to put Him first. We need to acknowledge the Lordship of Christ. The word direct here means to make straight, to make smooth. And that's what God promises to do in your life, to make straight the path before you and to clear away any obstacles and enable you to move forward for God. How will He direct your path, you ask? Make straight your path before you. He may do it through the Scriptures as you read it and study it and follow it and obey it. As David wrote, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Or through advice and counsel of godly people. You need to be listening to godly people in your life. Your godly parents and grandparents and godly other church people and in your life that you have, and seeking their counsel, not listening to the ways of the world and the people of the world today that don't have God. Don't listen to them. Listen to godly people. Take their advice to knowing that straight path that you need to be living on. And through the marvelous converging of circumstances that happen in your life, God uses circumstances to teach you more about Him and to teach you to follow Him. And through the inward peace of the Holy Spirit, the inward peace of God. If you don't have peace about something, that's God's indicator to you not to do it, right? Not to do it if you don't have the peace of the Spirit. And then, of course, a combination of those things. To really know what the will of God and plan of God and direction of God is for your life. Yes, the best way to live. No better way to live than a life dedicated to Jesus. No more rewarding life, as we just heard here this morning. no more rewarding life than a life that's totally committed to the Lord, totally trusting the Lord in obeying His commandments. So what is it, church, that you and I need to do if we are to live a successful life and then experience the blessings of God in our life? Then choose to remember Scripture with your mind and obey it with your heart. Choose to keep a balance of what? Mercy and what? Truth in your life always. And then lastly, say no to worry and say yes to trusting in the Lord with your life completely, unconditionally, right? So as I close, men and women, young people, don't believe the lies that are out there, that your life has no meaning or no purpose. It does. On the authority of the Word of God, it does. Jeremiah 29:11. God has given you life. He's given you a hope. And He's given you a future. He's given you peace. And Jesus loves you. And He died for you. He invites you to repent of sin and confess Him as Lord and Master of your life. Come to Jesus today. Then you'll experience life anew, brand new, and life of meaning and fullness and purpose as you come to Jesus. And when you do this, He will fill your life with that kind of meaning and purpose and hope and future that is amazing. Let me close with the words of a song by Ralph Carmichael, called I Found What I Wanted. Listen to the words of this song. I found what I wanted when I found the Lord. I found more than pleasures of the earth could afford. I knew the moment I knelt how rich my life really could be. Yes, God did this for me. You'll know what it means to have wonderful rest. The life of a Christian is always the best. So come and see for yourself that which I have told is true. God will do this for you. I found what I wanted. My searching is through. My life has a purpose that I never knew. As gently He leads me, I trust in His word. I found what I wanted when I found the Lord. Wow. There's the answer, friends. And by the way, you really don't have to find the Lord because He's seeking after you, right? He's seeking you, and then you'll find Him for sure because He's seeking you. And so He's there for you to come to. And when you do, you will never, ever have any regrets of choosing the Lord in your life. Father, thank You for Your word to our hearts this morning, God. We've covered a lot here this morning, and Lord, yet we believe that this is a message for this hour that we need in our lives to experience the blessings and rewards of God. These conditions need to be lived out in my life, Lord, where I'm remembering the Scriptures in my mind, in my heart, and I'm obeying, and I'm balancing mercy and truth, and I'm saying no to worry, and I'm saying yes to trust in God, and trust in His word, and trust in His promises, and not allow those voices of the evil one, the enemy, and those negative thoughts to come into my mind. And we resist that through the word of God. There's power in the word of God. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus to resist the enemy when he throws those arrows at me. And I can take the sword of the Spirit and resist the enemy, and he will flee. So we thank You for that, God. Bless us now as we wrap up our service with our song. And Lord, as we go into some discussion and Q&A on our gospel 10 meetings, committed all to You in Jesus' name. Amen.